know he came here to say, if you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Let me see you get loose. Going down for
coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right. Let's go. On a Thursday, it's Jason Gibbs in for Nathan Zagura, joined by the glue of the show, Matt Wilhelm. There were people in this building asking me, what glue? Like, what are you talking about, glue of the show? What's going on? There were alarm bells going off.
The only, well...
And
glue is what keeps this together. It's what keeps this show going. Standard.
Yes, it is. It's the gold standard.
It is.
Since we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the National Football League.
Correct. And I've given away my golden football.
You did. I read the article on the Elyria Chronicle Telegram yesterday, by the way. Some extra pub for you.
Semi-educated in that article, wasn't I?
You know, minus the shirt. You were dapper, my
friend. I do my best. I got dressed in the dark.
Just randomly throw stuff.
Yeah.
This is like a playhouse in here.
It really is.
Especially with no one around.
When Zagura's here, we're playing catch all break long.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He wants to vilify or validate his ability to get one first down in an NFL game.
I want to put him in just so we can end this conversation, we can end this debate, and I want to videotape the car wreck that happens.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to end well. There's no way that ends well.
I think it has. And I mean, too, handing the ball off and having someone break it for 8 yards and then you hand it off on second down and convert, that doesn't count.
No.
He's got to drop back to pass.
There's got
to
be at least one throw.
At least one in shotgun and just have him get teed off on. Just how awkward he's going to look in pads to begin
Whitner
with.
Whitner coming on a safety blitz?
Yes.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That ends poorly for him. We're taking your phone calls today, as we do every day. And how you get in touch with the show, 216-578-0850. You can tweet at us at Browns_daily. Unlike the other day when Donovan and Wilhelm were both in here and neither really on Twitter. Good news, I am. So you can tweet at the show at Browns_daily. A lot of topics to get to today. Andrew Gribble joins us at 1:30 from Mobile, Alabama, with the latest on day three from the Senior Bowl. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we will hear from Carson Wentz, who joined ClevelandBrowns.com. Also, Braxton Miller, who joined ClevelandBrowns.com. And at 2:30 today, Kevin Bowen, writer, radio, TV personality for Colts.com, much like their version of Nathan Zagura, joins us to talk about the Browns' new hire and one that they are very, very excited about. As Sashi Brown announced last night, Andrew Berry, the vice president of player personnel now for the Cleveland Browns, comes to us from the Indianapolis
Colts. Final seat at the table.
The final seat. And, boy, does this guy have a heck of a resume. Starting off in Harvard, spent the last 7 years with the Colts, really fine-tuned and developed a lot of things. Bill Polian with some outstanding things to say about him.
That's, as I read through, you know, obviously, you know, Sashi just making the hire, Paul DePodesta, of course, giving the input on the hire of the top talent evaluator. That's all fine and good. They now have, you know, it is their obligation to be biased to him and the reason why you made him your top talent evaluator. But what I like is for a guy who, you know, retired from the Indianapolis Colts, you know, at the top of his game after winning a Super Bowl, you know, and the teams that he put together that I competed against, I have a lot of respect for him. And at the time that he was doing his job with the Colts, this kid was a peon, you know, breaking down who knows what, but a report of some sort that ended up on Bill Polian's desk. But he was just, again, a hard worker. And so the words of Bill Polian to me, and for the Cleveland Browns to reach out and get that comment, or if Polian, you know, volunteered that comment to the Cleveland Browns, I take his thoughts and his words about the hire and the young man that is now going to run that position for the Cleveland Browns, you know, to heart. And it has a lot of validity to it for me.
They are establishing quite the front office right now in the National Football League.
Three Harvard guys.
Yeah, there won't be any other Ivy League schools welcome in the building outside of Harvard. By the way, we watched – what were we watching? The Senior Bowl. There was a Harvard guy going up against a Penn State guy in –
And he got the Nassib, the defensive lineman, and the Harvard guy got smoked. He's like, but then he was like, what's your IQ?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What are you doing with your life after football? Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So Barry joined the Colts as a scouting assistant in 2009, elevated to pro scout in 2011. He was promoted to pro scouting coordinator in 2012, worked with a Colts team that won four AFC South titles, made five postseason appearances, advanced to a Super Bowl. During his time in Indy, the Colts won 67 games, sixth most in the NFL. With the Colts, his duties included managing the free agency process, scouting upcoming Colts opponents, evaluating NFL players and players in other professional leagues. He also assisted with college scouting, preparation for the NFL draft, and participated in contract negotiations during free agency. So here's a guy that's done a lot. And now you're bringing in a guy from Indianapolis who has a track record of success. Paul DePodesta, track record of success. Maybe not in football, but sure as heck in baseball.
Proven systems that work.
Exactly. You are now surrounding yourself. You're bringing in Hugh Jackson, who's had success as a coordinator, has been a head coach, learned from any mistakes that he had made. You know, guys with experience. And now you're reaching that point where you've got guys in this building that aren't walking around all wide-eyed. What am I doing today? What is this? This is new. Every day's a new day.
Exactly.
These guys, it's business as usual.
It is business as usual for these guys. And I think, you know, why Browns fans might be skeptical, you know, at least at the outset with the promotion of Sashi Brown is because he doesn't have what you just talked about. He has experience in the National Football League, but not in the role that he will now play, being, you know, the controller of the 53-man roster, final say on draft, final say on free agents. That's where hiring the individuals that you did and surrounding Sashi Brown, because, again, I know your head coach is the most vital position on the football side, but Sashi Brown is probably the most vital position besides the owner in the organization because of the final say and what that means, that he can trump Hugh Jackson from a football standpoint. He can trump Mr. Barry, or he can trump, you know, the reports that the Paul DePodesta spits out to him for whatever or whatever he's evaluating. And I think that's where a lot of people were up in arms about the promotion of a guy that nobody's ever heard of. But what I love about this is that you get a young guy, because if you went out and got a guy with too much experience, it's going to be natural for him to want to feel empowered. The ego is going to come into play, and Sashi Brown, either on purpose or on accident, can go, no, I'm going to do this. And that guy gets a little disgruntled, gets angry, you know, and you start the butting of the heads, you know, right here in this franchise, which is what we don't need. So you have a young man that's, you know, that's open, that's optimistic, that is taking a promotion from one place to another, to sit on top of the scouting side and have his voice heard. And I'm not trying to say that his voice was not heard in Indianapolis, but all his experiences have gotten him to the point where it's the time now. And I say the same thing about a coordinator. When is a position coach ready to become a coordinator? When is a coordinator, you know, name in the hat to become a head coach? And I think that's what we have in this guy. And I love the fact that, you know, he can come here open-minded and understand the parameters with which he has to work in. That I oversee my guys, my college scouting, my pro scouting, and we do our very best. They do their best for me. I accumulate all that information, and I put that in front of Sashi Brown the best I can so that my voice is heard at that table based on my experience and my scouts' experiences.
Yeah, no question. This is if you're not excited about the front office, and I had my hesitancies, I guess you could say. I was questioning how things were going to be going here, how the structure was going to go. You're bringing in some pretty credible people, and I think – that's something, you know, it's not just bringing in people with experience, but I think now in the National Football League, you're taking a look at this organization and going, there's some credibility
yes,
in that building now.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think with the amount of money and cap space that we have, with the direction this franchise is heading, because really it can't get any lower than it was, you know, following the Week 17 football game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I would agree.
Firing your general manager, firing your head coach, only three wins. You know, Joe Hayden finished the season on injured reserve. You know, most concussions in the National Football League, highly penalized, and so on and so forth. That to make this move now, the only place to go is up. And I think as Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson, you know, at the Senior Bowl in free agency and the top talent evaluator started, you know, diving into free agents, there's a specific guy. you know, not only as a player, but as a person that has to be bought into the challenge that the Cleveland Browns do present to that player. It's not going to be, we're not going to pay you a lot of money and you're going to come here and just be average. It's, we're going to find a bargain in you and you're going to be bought in to be a part of something special, you know, in a building process over the next 3 to 5 years. And that's the one thing that I can say is for anybody is, I believe personally that Hugh Jackson and this regime is going to be together a minimum of 3 years. Because to see it through and to have these processes, you know, really, really latch on and be viable options for us to evaluate talent, to make decisions, so much so that you can say, that's why we took a step. How do we take the next step? And that's where the Paul De Podestas of the world come into play. Constant evaluation of ourselves and other people out there to allow us to make the right decisions to take step after step after step and never be comfortable too long on one step and just being average.
216-578-0850 at Browns_daily. If you want to tweet at us your thoughts on the new hiring of Andrew Berry. Hugh Jackson out yesterday meeting with quarterbacks, meeting with other players down at the Senior Bowl. And you know, we talked about, you know, building this front office and building this coaching staff. You know, this is something we haven't seen over the last couple of years. Guys not going to the combine or not interviewing people. Guys not going to the Senior Bowl. Well, now all of a sudden you've got delegations of Browns people going down there and meeting guys. And this is a big opportunity week. The weather hasn't been great. We'll talk to Andrew Gribble about that at 1:30, and we'll talk to him about who the movers and shakers have been. But it's nice to have those guys talking to players down there.
Of quarterbacks, course.
Front. The biggest head scratcher over the last couple of years is how is no one down there? Why is no one down there talking to these guys?
Humble yourself and go do the work. You know, and I think that's as I look back on the last regime, and you know, in some cases, doing this show, you have to, you know, keep some things quiet. But I always felt as if it was their way or the highway, and they, in the long run, really thought they were going to be smarter than everybody else by doing it a little bit different. And bodies from 32 NFL franchises don't fly in from their location to Mobile, little old Mobile, Alabama, for an All-Star game on accident. You know, but yet, you look at last year, we weren't there or didn't have the presence that other teams had, but yet somehow we take 5 of our 12 draft picks were you know, played in the Senior Bowl. So it has to hold credibility in the eyes of a talent evaluator, of a coach, to spend the time with those kids. And I think it's a piece of the puzzle. The Senior Bowl is a piece. These All-Star games are a piece of the puzzle. The Senior Bowl is. The Combine definitely is. And then those pro workouts. And I think every talent evaluator or general manager or executive vice president of football operations, you know, their pie chart on what they put in what quadrant is a little bit different. And I think that's what I'm interested to see, you know, looking back on what they do this offseason, because I think it's a great platform for what we can expect them to do in years to come.
We very much looking forward to see how this season starts to take shape. As Ray Horton walks by, you and I were talking about it, you know, there's still some spots left on that defensive staff to fill. We know who the offensive coaches are. We know who the front office people are. Finish up those defensive spots, and then let's see where we go from there.
Yeah.
I know Hugh Jackson's talked to some players. People were making a big deal about the fact he hasn't talked to Johnny yet. Okay. Hugh's going to get around to talking to everybody. You know, it's certain guys he wanted to talk to first, and you know, it's just kind of been a random thing. He said it himself. He's just grabbing guys and bringing them in, and people he's already known in the past, people he hasn't and wanted to meet. You know, he's going to get around to talking to everybody, and then they're going to start evaluating. They're looking at tape. I guarantee they're looking at tape now, trying to figure out who's going to be on this roster.
I can guarantee you they're watching tape, because yesterday as I was grabbing lunch, you know, Nathan was here, and I stopped and peeked around the corner and watched the defensive staff as it sits right now, watching our defense last year against the Kansas City Chiefs. So they are definitely watching tape. And Nathan's like, what could they be watching? Why would they be watching us against someone else? And I go, they're evaluating us. You know, you get the I don't know, you know, I know some of the coaches that, you know, have been, you know, linked to the Cleveland Browns. They're in that room evaluating the guys that they're going to be in front of, in just a matter of months as, you know, OTAs and minicamps get started.
Yeah, I mean, that's – you got to know. And I feel like there will be some changes at some point here.
I agree.
There is going to be an influx of people coming in, and there is going to be an influx of people going out.
There is. I believe that to be true. And I would say if – and I'm a numbers guy. I would say there's going to be a 30% difference from the roster last year to the roster this year. Because I think – this staff, as great as they are, they're not miracle workers, okay? I don't think last staff, yeah, they might not have been that great, but this they're not miracle workers to be able to flip. You can't keep the same guys with different coaches that quickly and turn it over. Because we need, as a Cleveland Browns organization, we need the Justin Gilberts of this roster to be playing huge roles for us. And if he can't take that step personally, there's nothing Hugh Jackson can say to him to get that out of him. The Barkevious Mingos.
You either want it or you don't.
You want it or you don't. There's a role for you here or there's not. And that's why I think, you know, and the door swings both ways. As easy as guys are going to, it's easy to bring guys in, you know, and sometimes it's difficult to have guys out. But this regime change and this new perspective, these new set of eyes on your body of work last year allows that door, you know, to be a little squeaky, you know, and get a little worn out on the way out.
Exactly. So it should be an interesting next few months leading up to the 2016 NFL Draft. We'll talk about you can talk about the front office today. Where's your confidence level with them? The NFL released their All Golden Team, the best players to ever play in the Super Bowl. We'll go through them, agree or disagree. I didn't see Matt Wilhelm's name on there. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah. I didn't see mine either.
Yeah, we can
actually
talk.
No, I didn't see mine either. I didn't look because I knew it was not there.
We could talk Senior Bowl. Braxton Miller is skyrocketing. Forget about Carson Wentz and all the quarterbacks. The name to watch is Braxton Miller right now. We'll talk more about him when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much to drink.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, God. The best part of the show might be during the commercial breaks.
It absolutely is.
Dean Italy just starting things and then walking away.
That's what I do. Try to get you guys.
Poke the bear. Yeah. Eventually, I'm going to wake up.
Consider the bear poked. That sounds rough.
I know, but I'm getting warmed up because I got I've got to make sure I get Hooli riled up later on today. So you know, you guys are the warm up.
I'm working on a big project for Bruce Hooli right now.
Yeah, I know you are.
Big project.
Can you make it happen? That's the question.
Know. We'll see.
All right,
I'm working on it. All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, with you. And Nathan Zagura back tomorrow. I think we're back on track until you leave for the Buckeye Cruise.
Yes. 2 or 3 weeks of.
Actually, no. Nathan goes away again at some point in February. I think he's got a couple days in February. He's got some golf trip with a kid, I think.
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines.
Yeah. The end of the second week. I think they're going to Tampa.
Somewhere south.
Yeah, Tampa.
I don't know.
He tried to lure me into that.
How's your golf game? Does it exist?
What golf game? I don't.
Do you play golf?
I love golf. I just don't play enough at all.
You and I have to go out.
Yes.
You know what, my friend.
You know what?
I
have this this obligation, like smack dab in the middle of my weekdays, that makes it very difficult to get out early enough to get 18 in, and then you know I kind of feel like I'm accomplished, and I don't want to go out too late with my kids at home. So this radio show is what doesn't allow me to get out.
You can get out in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. You've been sleeping in.
I have
you
been
said
sleeping in.
Things have changed, and now you're being lazy.
I am being lazy.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Welcome to my world. That could explain the pouch.
I've worked hard enough.
Underneath my man boobs. Do you know who's on the phone? We have a phone call?
Yeah, you got Lewis and Shaker.
I can't get the phone screen software to work.
Lewis is up now.
Hi, Lewis. Hello. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
I'm not quite sold yet, but I have a little list of things that might sell me. Number one, let's get the circus out of town. You know who I'm talking about. I don't need to mention his name. Number two, let's get rid of Gilbert, an individual who can't make it to the meetings on time because he can't set his alarm clock. Number three, let's get rid of the $1.4 million per catch individual. Let's get rid of him. Do we have a contingency plan just in case we don't get Goff, Treadwell? Let's get Flash Gordon into the fold. And last but not least, let's get Sanuar Jones and get us a running back. What do you think?
Lewis, thanks for the call. That sounds like a fantastic plan.
That was well thought out and easily executable plan, right?
Is it
easy? What did we say before that break? How easy that door is going to be able to open going the other way.
Correct.
The draft picks will naturally come. How adventurous we'll be in free agency, I don't know. That's the one thing about this regime, you know, that we don't know about. We do know most likely they're not going to sign any free agents over the age of 30 and pay them any more than $5 million, regardless of who they are. Has been proven not to work.
I feel like Cleveland fan gets excited for free agency, and I don't think you should get excited.
No.
You really shouldn't, especially, and I remember this, Bill Polian, speaking of, we were talking about him earlier, Bill Polian said this the best. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Bill Polian. It was Gil Brandt. Gil Brandt said, free agency is a group of level three and level four guys getting paid level A and level B money.
Yes.
That's really what it amounts to. Because if you're a star, you're not a free agent.
Correct.
You're never going to be a free agent.
Correct. And I think, for those out there who want us to be, who want their team to be a big player on day one, okay, look at Ndamukong Suh. What role did he play with $150 million in his pocket?
Talk about a cancer on a football team.
Right. Cancer on a football team. Not only a cancer, but unproductive.
Yeah. Very much so.
So, I mean, I know that I've said it time and time again. Just give me some return on my investment. Okay. I don't need it all in 1 year, you know, but give me flashes of what I can enjoy over the term of that contract, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it is we sign you to. Okay, give me some immediate return on that investment. And that's the same thing that we should be getting out of our first-round draft picks, which is oh so frustrating to be a Browns fan because the ROI is so low. I mean, the stats are mind-boggling. How many of them since 2010 are even Cleveland Browns? Three? Four?
Not many.
Including the last two, five, Mingo, Gilbert Manziel, and the two from last year. Probably are the only ones.
Yeah. I mean, that's – if you go back and look at the first-round picks for the last 5 or 6 years, you could cry yourself to sleep.
Yes.
That's – you've set your franchise back how many years?
Right, and I'll continue to say it, and I think to me what frustrates me when I look back, not as a lifelong Browns fan, is everyone around us hit in those same drafts. Maybe not 13, because 13 was just a bad draft class, right?
Correct.
So we'll discount that. That's how we ended up with Mingo.
Historically bad.
Historically bad. But everyone hit around us. You know, the three picks before Justin Gilbert, the three picks after Justin Gilbert, the five picks before Manziel, the five picks after Manziel, and the talent that teams got, and the fact that they're returning on their investment of making that first-round pick, the Derek Carrs, the Teddy Bridgewaters, the Odell Beckhams of the world, and so on and so forth. Are the things, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, even though we didn't play this year, you know, all those things are paying off for other teams, and we can't get guys on the field. Or yeah. We can't get guys to make it to meetings on time.
And it's a reason that Nathan and I do battle, because Nathan says, well, look at how many guys we drafted last year we had success with. And this was at a time when we were having success with guys. I said, but you didn't hit on the first-round picks, and your first-round picks are your leaders. Those are the guys that you expect to go to Pro Bowls. Those are the guys you expect to have an impact in year one.
Yeah.
And if they're not having an impact on year one, because the rest of it, I think, is gravy. If you get a third or fourth round pick to have a major impact and become a starter in year one, that's fantastic.
That's a bonus.
Yeah. Your first round picks, if they're not starting week one, should be starting by week three and
Correct.
Making an impact.
Week five, yes. Yeah, yeah absolutely.
And We haven't had that.
Nope,
not at all. And I mean, it has set this franchise back. Unfortunately, back to the phone lines we go. Tony on a cell phone. Tony, you're on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hi guys, great job. I'm in sales. I'm on the road all day, and I listen to all your shows. I love them all.
Thank you very much.
What I wonder, I have a different take on Johnny Manziel. You know, the Browns have bent over backwards for this guy. Have backed him in everything. keep him. Let him be the third string quarterback. Make him ball boy, equipment manager. Just keep him so he can't be happy going somewhere else that he might want to go to. Make him earn the money. We're always giving people away and paying them for the rest of their life.
Tony, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah,
man. I appreciate it. I mean, he's under contract.
Right.
He's not going anywhere.
He's under contract. He's not going anywhere. What I would do is, ultimately, him being in Cleveland is still a distraction. If he's the third string quarterback and he's out doing what he's doing, that seeps into this locker room. You know, you're going to draft, if you draft a young quarterback, that young quarterback is going to be exposed to hearing the stories of, you know, in that quarterback room, what Johnny Manziel's been able to get away with, where he was last night, who he was with, what he's going to do on the bye week. All those things influence a locker room, influence a young sponge, i.e. a young quarterback in that locker room. And so to have him, you know, when the season starts, to me would be cancerish. So, but I agree with his point to a certain extent. Is what I do is I don't make the road out of Cleveland easy for Johnny Manziel. So you're going to come here and you're going to learn our system. You're going to go through the extra mini camps and the extra OTAs. You're going to train here all off season long. You're going to go to training camp, okay, and learn our system. And then I'm going to cut you, or then I'm going to move you. Because realistically, there's a small market of people out there or teams that would even entertain the opportunity of adding that individual to their roster. So your market's already small. The value's not going to go up. He's not going to play any games between now and then. He can only actually lose you a little bit. But if you just make it hard on him, fine. Write him up right off that short list.
And I expect Hugh Jackson to have a little talk with one John Paul Football at some point. And I don't know how good or bad that conversation is going to go. The expectations are going to get laid out. And as someone once told me, I don't fire people. People fire themselves. And we shall see how the days of our Manziels continue on. All right. When we come back, we're stepping aside here for just a couple minutes. When we return, Andrew Gribble from Mobile, Alabama, to give us the latest on Senior Bowl Day 3. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, rolling through a Thursday. It's a nice day. We don't have snow. It's not 20 below. I am a huge, huge fan of El Nino. And frankly, I'm happy to go outside every day with an aerosol can just to speed up the process so we can keep having El Nino.
Will it last?
No.
We've had less than 6 inches of snow for 10 days max.
Yeah, exactly.
It finally melted off like yesterday.
And it's January.
Late January.
Yeah.
I just hope we're not.
This is the last weekend.
I just hope we don't have like snow in May.
Oh, please don't tell me that. Nothing like going to cover a Cavs playoff game. No, dude. You know, the national media bashes us enough that they have to come here during the NBA playoffs. If it was snowing,
what's the difference of going to Chicago or New York?
I think it's frankly easier to get around.
That's
here.
That's my point.
I never understood that.
I agree.
All right, Jason Gibbs in for Nathan Zagura, along with the glue of the show, Matt Wilhelm.
Yeah.
And we go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, and we welcome in the senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Hopefully you've been reading him every day, and some interviews that are going to be appearing online as well later on today. Andrew Gribble down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Sir Gribble, good afternoon to you, sir.
What's going on, guys? I was hearing that weather talk, and I need to let you know that yesterday was probably the coldest day I've ever experienced in my life in Alabama. And it felt like 50 degrees colder than it actually was because it was Alabama. So it made me feel like I was soft, made me just feel like I wasn't ready for this, but there was multiple hours of thawing out after being out of practice yesterday.
All right, and the weather didn't look great even today.
We'll get to
the Senior Bowl here in just a minute. But Andrew, your thoughts on Andrew Berry joining this football team and the impact that he will have on the inner circle now that's completed?
Well, yeah, it's kind of the final piece of the puzzle that's put together, and I think the key word that's kind of being used and that's been used throughout this entire process is kind of fit and alignment. I think he aligns, and I think they wanted to see how he would work together with the group. And I think he came away as a very impressive, forward-thinking guy who, when you see a quote like the one you see from Bill Polian in that press release, that you kind of disregard the age and realize that this guy's kind of a guy on the rise in the scouting ranks and has done a lot of good work with the Colts. And I really do think it was just a matter of getting all these guys in a room and kind of picturing them working together and making those tough decisions together going forward. And clearly a lot of candidates were interviewed throughout this process, just like the head coaching search. It was kind of a thorough, methodical process. And I don't think they were necessarily in any hurry to get it done, but you got it at a good time midway through the Senior Bowl. And now he's going to be ready to roll for as the scouts and the personnel department kind of decompress from this event and prepare for the combine going forward. So it's full steam ahead with this group. And clearly when you talk to people around the league and, you know, bumping into a lot of people at this event, you know, I think there's the optimism about his upside and kind of the impressive nature he has and how smart this guy really is. Because you look at the resume, 4 years to get a master's at Harvard, that's nothing to sniff at, even for all other. that's impressive in the small group of Ivy League graduates like that.
Yes, it definitely is. Gribbs, you talked about the tough decisions, and the Browns have one at number two. And probably the only guy that could potentially be considered that is down there in Mobile, Alabama, is Carson Wentz. What type of day? We watched a little bit of it on TV. What type of day overall did he have? And did he is he gaining steam, or did he have like a lateral move from yesterday to today?
No, I just think I think he's in a place where, you know, I think he came into this week with a lot of questions to answer, and I think he answered them. And I think now you can kind of view this draft, if you're looking just at the quarterback position, as I think, you know, all throughout the season we perceived it maybe as a two quarterback race, and I think now you can safely say it's a three quarterback race. And I don't know. You know, with a guy like Wentz, or even with these other quarterbacks, you wonder if two is too early and 32 is too late. So that's where it's an interesting spot that the Browns are in going forward. But I think Wentz, when you look at him, has the prototypical size, good arm, and I think he interviewed well with a lot of teams, really impressive character. So I think he answered those questions. I think the ultimate, you know, the thing that's going to maybe stick with people, though, is you wonder what he can do out of coming out of FCS. And I think the one guy that I brought up yesterday that continued to show that you can have that success is a guy like Joe Flacco, and a player that Hugh Jackson worked with closely in the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't think the small school thing would scare off people too much, and I think he proved that he can hang with some decent competition down here at the Senior Bowl. So I'd say it was a good week for him here. Clearly the best quarterback in this game, and I think that's what he needed to establish.
Talking with Andrew Gribble, Brown senior staff writer. You can read all of his work, all of his stories, online interviews, all that and more at clevelandbrowns.com. Down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. The thing that Wentz has surprised some people with, I think, Andrew, is that mobility factor. We've seen a little more mobility maybe than what we saw of him in college. And I heard a couple people yesterday talking about how that can only help him here.
Yeah, you know, I think that's clearly, you know, I went back and looked at the stats. I mean, this is a guy that ran for 650 yards and seven or so touchdowns in his junior season. So clearly a part of that offense. I think it's good that he's coming from a pro-style offense that, you know, as he told us in an interview, that, you know, it kind of threw a lot at him and has kind of prepared him for the NFL, because, you know, there's a lot of variables that come with that. And I think the system that he was in is good suited for his future in the NFL. I think his senior year, I think those rushing totals went down a little bit. I think it was a funky year for him because of the wrist injury that kept him on the sidelines. But he showed an ability to come back in a tough spot in that championship game, and he won most outstanding player. So, he doesn't look like, when you look at him just in normal clothes, you don't look at him and say that's a guy that's probably going to be a great mobile quarterback. But I think in the NFL, you don't need a guy that's going to consistently run for a bunch of yards. I think the ideal mobility out of a mix of mobility and good pocket presence, you look at is a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's a guy that can move within the pocket, elude tacklers, pick up a first down when you need him to, but you're never going to label Aaron Rodgers as a running quarterback. So I think that's what you need to show, just good feet, good pocket awareness, and I think Wentz has that, and I think that makes that's a good variable that he has and can kind of sell on teams if they want to make him a pretty high pick.
Andrew, Braxton Miller, as it seems, continues to impress, even though he went down today with some cramps. He's been linked. There's some teams out there that somebody's linking to Braxton Miller in the second round, the Patriots, Chiefs, and the Pittsburgh Steelers as an addition in the second round. Is this a guy that, if you believe, runs a fast enough 40 that could even sneak late into the first round?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of confidence in what he's going to be able to do at the combine as well with that 40-yard dash, and I think the key thing he said yesterday at his press conference was that he's dropped some weight since the season ended, and that's made him even faster. I think it's crazy how he's kind of become almost a viral sensation from this game with some of the moves he's put on some pretty good DBs in this game. So clearly, as it stands right now, you'd probably lump him in with among the biggest winners from this entire week with what he's been able to show. And again, it was a guy with a lot of question marks going into what he could potentially do. I look back on it to, I believe it was a couple of years ago, where I think you saw what a guy like Denard Robinson was able to show at a different position at this game. So it's just, this is, another selling point for the Senior Bowl and why it was important for Braxton Miller to come down here was this was his last opportunity to show scouts what he can do in pads against equal competition, and I think he definitely showed that. And he was running a lot of routes and running with an offense that maybe was different than what he was doing in his final year at Ohio State, where they kind of plugged him in to a bunch of different spots. So just a really good week for Braxton Miller. It's unfortunate what happened injury wise today. I don't know if that's going to hinder his ability to play in the game Saturday, but as has been expressed to me a lot throughout this week, and as will be displayed at the airport in a few hours, the game is kind of secondary to what is happening on the practice fields these first 3 days.
Not only Braxton Miller, it seems like every time you turn around, there's an Ohio State player making a play in this Senior Bowl. Some guys really, really standing out. Nick Vinette, one of them. Who was the interception that we
saw? Tyvus Powell.
Yeah, Powell.
Adolphus Washington had a good practice today.
Yep. Former Buckeye Noah Spence with a good week as well. Ohio State really impressing here and really on pace for one, what would think, and this, we haven't even talked about the underclassmen making this a huge day one in the NFL draft here coming up in
right,
April.
Yeah. And a guy I'll focus on that probably is getting the least amount of attention out of all these Ohio State prospects because of maybe, I wouldn't say it's not that he didn't produce at Ohio State, it's just that he didn't have many opportunities, was Vinette. I mean, his stats last year were 19 catches for 162 yards, no touchdowns, but if you look at CBS Sports' rankings, he's number three in that tight end class right now, and I think he's shown a great ability at that position this week. We've gotten a lot of highlights of him. He's been doing a lot of very good things, and I think it's a good confidence booster for him because his stats just weren't all that great in college, but it's really hard. Some offenses in college are built around tight ends. I mean, you look at what Alabama did in the national championship with O.J. Howard. He had a huge game in that game, but he hadn't done much the entire previous two seasons. So it seems like it's a challenge for some college offenses to really work in that tight end and get him involved in the passing game. But, that was the biggest thing that he was out here trying to prove that he can do, and I think he's done a good job with it.
Andrew, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to play your interview with Hugh Jackson. You had a chance to sit down with Hugh and with Sashi. Your thoughts and your biggest takeaways after talking to those guys and what they've seen this week?
Well, I think the big thing with Hugh, and he's still here today, is that he wants to be here and be involved, and I think it was a good opportunity for him to sit alongside with Sashi for these last few days and kind of get even closer together and getting a clearer picture of what they're envisioning this roster to look like. And I think that an insight from Hugh is that he talks about what he's looking for in these quarterbacks because he's seen it. He's seen the stuff on tape, but he's not as caught up on film with these players as the scouts are, who have been watching these guys for months. And it's just what he wants to see in person. I think with a quarterback, especially, you're watching them on the field. You're seeing how they gravitate toward each other. And seeing if they're maybe establishing themselves as a leader, even in a situation like this where these guys are thrown together for what is, in all intents and purposes on Saturday, a game that is not exactly meaningful. I mean, it's an exhibition. It's an all-star. These guys are trying to show their individual abilities, but it's up to the quarterback to kind of rally everyone together so it's not a total mess. So I think that's that's a key thing that he's been here for, just kind of evaluating talent, and I think showing how he will be involved and lending his thoughts to when this roster is built. Interesting talking to a scout here last year. The leadership thing was something that really stood out to them about Danny Shelton last year, I think, and he became one of the highest-picked players, if not the highest-picked player, from the Senior Bowl last year. So the Browns have a history of really liking some of these guys in the Senior Bowl. They proved to be some of their better players on the roster as well, and I think that's continuing as a theme with the fact that, you know, that Hugh Jackson has been here for all three of these practices, whereas, you know, most NFL coaches, if they even come here, they're here for a day and a half, and then they get back to work, get back to their offices. But Hugh's been here all 3 days, and that's good to see.
Andrew Gribble, live from Mobile, Alabama. Appreciate your time, my friend. Are you back tomorrow? Or are you flying back today? What's the
We're getting out of here at about 7 o'clock. I think it'll be the most crowded the Mobile airport has ever been. Everyone kind of getting out around Thursday evening, but back in the office bright and early tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, safe travels, and you can read all of Andrew's stuff on ClevelandBrowns.com. Check out those interviews with Sashi Brown and with Hugh Jackson. Andrew, appreciate the time as always, sir.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks very much, guys.
You got it, bud. That's Andrew Gribble, Brown senior staff writer. Some good takeaways, some good things. He's got his top five things every day, top five takeaways from the Senior Bowl. A lot of great interviews. He and Dustin Fox from the radio network putting some things together, and the TV side of things as well. And you could catch all that at ClevelandBrowns.com. One-on-ones with Wentz, with Braxton Miller, a number of different players. And you can check out all of that at ClevelandBrowns.com. I do know the English language. It just escapes me from time to time. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls and your tweets at 2 o'clock. Andrew Gribble. We will play that Gribble interview, that one-on-one with Hugh Jackson after he got some time with the Browns head coach. All that and more when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Plotting the end of the world here in Berea.
Yes. Great ideas come up in 3 minutes in between segments.
Wilhelm with a brilliant one here in the last 3 minutes. Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm in. Dave DiNatale cutting off our music there, dude. That was a quick cutoff.
It was. Music is a bit.
Yeah, that or we got disconnected.
We're a little bit serious about our music on this show. Yeah, and I just thought my idea in the break was, and I know Nathan doesn't listen to the show when he's not doing the show, that like tomorrow, for example, kid will be here. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We'll have him at some point. You'll be back on the board. Zagura will sit in his seat. And since he's been in and out all week, that if we just open the show to a new song, and he'll go, whoa, whoa, like, and it doesn't have to be your song. It doesn't have to be my song. Just a new song. And we'll just go, yeah, you know what? You know, it's like,
we made the decision.
You were 2 of 5 this week, so we figured we'd just trump you and throw it all out the window.
I don't think we haven't approved. Neither one of us have been on board with any of his selections.
No. And mine, Fall Out Boy, was good. That was the fifth of my five. So,
Gibbs, what music did you suggest?
I haven't suggested anything yet. I have one that I think will be the winner.
Really?
I'll play it for Wilhelm during a commercial break.
I'm sorry if I cut off that song too quickly. I mean, we're getting close to the top of the hour. I want to get you guys back into this thing.
Dino, do you have a song? You could have a place at the table since you help out our show all season
Anything
long.
Anything from Black Keys for you guys, I'm always a big fan of.
Black Keys. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Wait, that's fine.
Yeah.
I know if I played any Dave Matthews, I would be beaten and flogged, so we're going to avoid
that. No, I'll just laugh at you, actually. So it's okay.
Says the guy that
loves
Steely Dan.
I do love Steely Dan.
Wilhelm, what do you think about
that? Went to that concert this
Steely
summer.
Dan?
Yeah.
Put $1 million wager on there if I can name one Steely Dan song. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah. Also a big fan of... it's too soon, so I'm not going to make fun of that one band.
30 million... Hey, listen. The number one selling album of the 20th century. 30 million people can't be wrong, Gibbs.
About what?
Being a fan of the Eagles.
I was just going to say the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Eagles is good. Yeah, my dad used to like the Eagles. Not for an open song.
No.
I'm not suggesting Eagles for open or Steely Dan for an open. But I'm just saying. The good bands.
It is.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we do want to shout out. We made mention of it the other day. But tonight, Jim Donovan set to receive the prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award tonight at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. And the voice of the Browns since 99, been here since the mid-80s, and obviously we love having him anytime he's able to fill in here on Cleveland Browns Daily, and you hear him on so much of the Browns radio network week in and week out in season, and just a true pro's pro, and one of the best people that I work with, and one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and a guy that's always willing to lend a piece of advice or help you out in anything that you might need. And a duly recognized honor tonight. And we appreciate everything he does. And everybody here in Berea, very honored and excited for that tonight at the Cleveland Sports Awards.
And I'm always grateful. I mean, the days that and they're speckled throughout the offseason as, you know, Nathan or myself do some vacation days. And when I can spend 2 hours with Jim, it's – I not only learn from him as someone who's been in this profession for a very long time, but I learn a lot, like I did, what was it,
Tuesday. Yep.
About Browns history, to talk about, I mean, referencing a game when I was five, and he was referencing it because it was such a great moment for him and this fan base and this franchise, as if the game was played January 3rd, week 17, or a playoff game of a week, whatever it might have been. So... just a great honor and obviously well-deserving and someone who I look up to in this industry.
Yeah, congratulations from all of us, Jim, and enjoy the night. We'll see you in just a few hours down at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. Desmond Howard, the MC tonight. I don't know if Zagura will be there. Last year he was a presenter. But we'll wait and see. I think Jimmy Haslam.
I declined my invitation.
Why?
Prior
commitments?
Yes. Yes, and I know that I wonder, LeBron James, Gary Barnage, and Michael Brantley are up for Cleveland Sports Player of the Year.
It's a no-brainer to me, LeBron.
Right. Will he be in attendance?
I don't know.
Because they're off.
Some years he comes, some years he doesn't.
Well, with the whole throwing dirt, coach killer, might not be there this year.
Might not be a bad idea for him to be there.
This is true.
Especially, I mean, Barnage can't be there. He's in Hawaii. And Michael Brantley, I think, had surgery.
So he might be in Florida or Phoenix or somewhere recovering.
Exactly.
Huh.
It would be good for him to show up.
It would be good.
I think it would be very good with everything that's gone on. Because
fashionably late.
Your GM's taking care of everything.
Yes, he is. Fashionably late, receive your award, speak to you guys, and bounce.
The best disappearance act I've ever seen at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards. I've been covering it now, I don't know, 6-7 years. And every year there's a surprise. Last year, Cardale Jones walked in and just hung out, like in the back. Just hung out with the media, just shooting the you-know-what.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, aren't you supposed to be somewhere else? Yeah, I'm good. I'm all good. What do you all want to talk about? What are you watching? You know, I mean, because you're stuck in the back. It's cold. The door's half open. So Urban Meyer shows up the 1 year.
Really?
Yeah. Literally his car pulls up in a back
alley.
Yeah.
Sure.
The awards are already underway. He literally walks in, grabs the award he's presenting. They go through everything. He walks up on stage and, you know, you do the presenting and then you come back and then you talk to the media. We're all sitting in the back and that's how it goes. You go, you do your thing on stage. And then you come off the stage, and then you talk to the media. So Urban's down, and Urban's in the back room, and all the media are kind of gathered around, but he's on the phone. And, you know, he's on the phone, and you see him talking. So everybody's kind of backing off a little bit, and someone else had come out of the back off of the stage. So some of the media were over there, but everybody's got one eye on Urban. And Urban's on the phone, and he literally walks past me, and he goes, take care, Jason. Never on the phone at all. The greatest Houdini act, and he walked right out the door and was gone into the night.
That's awesome.
Walked right down to his car. He was there for maybe 10 minutes and back to Columbus.
I've been to this award ceremony before, and ironically, a year I was receiving an award, LeBron James was also receiving an award, but his was as a high school player. And I was finishing college, winning a national championship, and LeBron was just making the leap from St. Vincent and St. Mary to the NBA. And I received a, I don't know, defensive player of the year or something like that. Tressel and I were there. Clarette and I were there for, you know, team of the year. But LeBron was there to receive an award as well. And that's the first time I've ever met him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Never had an issue. We did some stuff with his foundation in the past. Awesome guy to hang out with. Does a lot for kids. Does a lot for the community. Now all you got to do is go win me a championship.
Seriously.
Stop getting coaches fired. Allegedly. All right, break time for us. When we come back, Andrew Gribble sits down with one Hugh Jackson to get his thoughts on the week that was down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. I'm Jason Gibbs. He's Matt Wilhelm. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.